Republican Service Daily Newscast for Friday, April the 20th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. The DOJ delivers the Comey memos to Congress. Also on our rundown, more evidence that the rent is too damn high. Marathon County braces for sulfide mining and the focus on recycling this weekend for Earth Day in North Dakota. Topping our news, the Department of Justice delivered copies of former FBI Director James Comey's memos to Congress on Thursday evening. Politico reports they document Comey's interactions with President Trump, a move they report was intended to avert a legal standoff between House Republicans and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. Meantime, the New York Times reports Rudolph Giuliani, former New York City mayor and longtime friend of President Trump, will join the president's legal team. Giuliani says it's an effort to quickly resolve the special counsel investigation into Russian election interference. The Times reports Trump will also bring on Jane Serene Raskin and Martin R. Raskin, former federal prosecutors based in Florida. And from New York, Andrea Sears tells us high rents are threatening families' financial security and putting home ownership out of the reach for many. That's according to a new report.
The analysis from the Pew Charitable Trust says since the Great Recession, the number of households paying more than 30% of their pre-tax income in rent has grown. Aaron Currier, director of Pew's Family Financial Security and Mobility Project, says 43 million American families now rent their homes, a number that has been growing in recent years.
As it has grown, the proportion of renters who struggle with rent has also grown. And our analysis is showing that being rent burdened is disproportionately affecting older Americans and people of color.
She says in 2015, 38% of all renter households were rent burdened, an increase of about 19% since 2001.
During a special session on the Virginia state budget and Medicaid, Tramiel Gomes reports Republicans in the House of Delegates there tried but failed to get the two-thirds majority votes necessary to override Governor Ralph Northam's veto of a sanctuary cities bill.
Earlier this month, Northam broke a campaign promise when he vetoed House Bill 1257, which would have prohibited sanctuary cities in the Commonwealth. The immigrant community celebrated, but conservative legislators resurrected the issue during the special session with hopes of overturning Northam's veto. Luis Aguilar with the immigrant rights group CASA said the effort was all a game of politics.
In trying to scapegoat immigrants, try to say that immigrants are criminals, try to say that they shouldn't have basic protections, just like everyone else. So that's why we are against this. It's a victory in that sense.
Aguilar and groups such as the Virginia Coalition for Immigrant Rights say lawmakers should focus on Medicaid expansion, not criminalizing immigrants and refugees.
After-school programs boosting the academic performance of students living below the federal poverty level, according to a new study by Utah Education Policy Center. After participating in music, sporting, and other organized activities for 1 to 3 years, kids made significant gains in language arts, math, and science scores. Tracy Gruber with the Utah Department of Workforce Services says academic success is critical for increasing opportunities for students once they leave school and enter the workforce.
Kids who are participating in these programs can have opportunities to learn how to play violin or participating in a sporting activity, and they're also being supported in their academic achievement for school.
In 2014, Utah lawmakers passed a measure designed to break the cycle of poverty by setting aside funds for students to take part in after-school programs. Wisconsin's moratorium on gold and silver mining will be lifted as of July. Elizabeth Brown reports a number of counties are now looking into creating their own mining regulations.
Counties want to prevent or mitigate damage to well water and the environment after Governor Scott Walker decided new mines could attract business and help keep younger workers in the state. Last week, Marathon County became the first to pass an ordinance, and it's being held up as a model for others. County Board Chairman Kurt Gibbs says officials spoke to environmental groups, mining companies, residents, and legal experts to figure out what would work best for all.
Tried to strike a balance between the interests of mining and the interests of the citizens of Marathon County.
The ordinance requires mining companies to pay a $50,000 upfront deposit and put another $15,000 into a trust fund for every well that could potentially be affected by the company's actions.
Mining companies say newer technology will minimize the risk of pollution. Marathon County has been identified as a potential target for mining. Finally, people around the world celebrating the Earth on Sunday. This year is the 48th anniversary of the first Earth Day back in 1970. Eric Tegadoff explains the day isn't just reserved for celebration.
Many organizations also bring attention to threats to our planet, such as climate change. In North Dakota, one group is focusing on another issue, how to reduce waste. Sherwin Warner, president of the North Dakota Solid Waste and Recycling Association, says recycling has caught on across the state since the organization began in the 1990s, and Earth Day highlights that work.
Recycling's an everyday commitment, and reuse of materials is an everyday commitment. So I think it brings attention to the work part of everyday activities that have to go on and the commitment to those areas.
Events are planned this weekend across the state, including trash pickup and birdhouse installations at North Dakota State University in Fargo on Sunday. Have a great weekend. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.